The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Day, July 8th, 2020, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. What's up, guys? My name is Shannon Young. I am 9 years old.
I thought you were going to be nine next Tuesday.
I'm going to be nine next Tuesday. I'm just doing nine-year-old stuff. If you guys out there are into Roblox, please email us at roblox@podzilla1985.com. With me tonight to talk about the news in professional wrestling, we have the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Do you want to see me get naked on cam?
We've got Double H.
I've got Ray-Bans for $20. Hit me up.
And the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
I'm also from St. Louis Lake.
Oh, you still got it wrong. Oh, my God.
It's Lake St. Louis, Dalton. If you're not going to take this seriously, she's not going to stick around. So before we get into the news, just a quick recap of what's been happening. A girl added me on Facebook, and she's been chatting with me for the past couple minutes. Girl, in quotation marks. It's clearly a bot. It took about five messages for her to ask me if I wanted to see her naked on cam. And the last message I sent her was, "I'm going to be honest. I'm actually 9 years old, and I thought you were really pretty. Why are you naked? Do you need money? I can give you my mom's credit card." Her reply is, "Are you kidding me or what?" And I'm going to say, no.
So you know what this actually might end up being? This could be an actual person that's trying to recruit for her cam site and is now trying, like, it just has a base template that she sends out to, you know, a bunch of people. And so now that you're responding and instead of having to copy and paste, she's like, wait, what the fuck?
Thrilling content.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's riveting. Why isn't it like in the movies where as soon as he hits send, she automatically replies? There's no time to actually read or think of a response.
Yes.
Except those early messages were. He hit send and she had already replied.
I don't know what happened, but maybe this person is not a bot. This is either a hacker or a ghost of some kind, because my Audacity stopped recording.
And like, no.
Yeah, I picked it back up, so I'm just gonna keep recording and I'll fix it and edit. But what time are you guys at?
2:40. Yeah.
Okay. So I missed about 45 seconds of my audio was gone. So if there's a huge gap where I'm not talking and you're wondering what's going on, I think this bot just shut me down. I think the government is listening. Donald Trump is now employing attractive women. Which sounds like something he would do. But we're not here to talk about this bot that I'm going to marry. We're here to talk about professional wrestling. And I haven't even looked at the stories tonight because I've been so enamored with this sex bot. Let's go to the top. Asa, let's get this started real quick. You know what? Let's start on a hot topic. Hot topic that we talked about last night. And I would like to discuss it in more detail. They unveiled the new U.S. title. Let's start there. What are our thoughts on the new U.S. title? I'm going to start with Dalton. As the senior bitching member, Dalton, tell me all the problems.
We were going to have different correspondents? Like, that was a way back in the day thing. That's, you should have made him that.
The chief bitching correspondent?
There it is.
I hate the new belt so much.
What?
The old belt was so much better. And they were like, we're going to make it new for no fucking reason. Just like they did the IC title. And it looks horrible.
I don't think it looks horrible. I don't know if I like it more than me and Hunter had this discussion last night, and I think Tanner was there with us talking about it. I don't think it's as, I don't know, I don't hate it. Am I the only one that doesn't hate it?
My first reaction is my gut reaction when I first saw it is that it is terrible. Like I absolutely hated it. But part of it might have been the lighting that they used in that first image. Because the more that I look at it, the less I hate it. It's still, I think Dalton is right. I think the classic design is one of the better belts they had. for a while, and it's when now it's like, oh, you really don't appreciate what you have until it's gone. But
I think it's good.
There's been too many fan edits that have made it look a million times better.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So if
isn't that what they did the same thing with the the Cruiserweight title at one point, didn't they? 205.
Well, that they the fan that, edits. They all they did was change it from they just changed the color belt. Of the strap, yeah. And the color of the actual plate. This is like the fan edit that I saw that I really really like is because my least favorite part of it is the giant champion across the middle. That just looks so cheap and tacky and something that you would win from ringing a bell with a giant mallet at a county fair. Like, they let you, if you ring the bell, you get to take a picture of it says champion on it. It just looks tacky to me. But so what they did is they swapped the red and white stripes at the bottom with champion, and they filled in the stars with a blue background. So instead of it
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the first thing that I saw as far as fan edits go, was putting a blue background behind the stars at the top. And even that, it was still champion down the middle, looked better.
Yeah, but so with champion down, especially because the way the word is angled, it fits going into the bottom because they're using that kind of odd shaped plate itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah. This is something that I think could have used like one or two little revisions and it wouldn't have been as jarring. But yeah, I don't hate it. I just like, and you know, we'll get used to it eventually. We always do. But my gut reaction was, one, why did you change it? And two, ew.
Yeah, I don't understand why they changed it, first off, because the original belt is really good. There's nothing wrong with the original belt. But the only thing that I didn't like about it, and I said it last night when we finished up PZ85 Plays, was I was never a fan of the original belt, the black background with the WWE scratch logo on it. I never liked that. I do prefer the way the scratch logo looks on this one. Like, I don't know, does it look a little gaudy? Yeah, it does, but I don't know, it does feel like, at least it feels like a championship title, as opposed to the WWE, like, heavyweight titles and stuff that's just a damn W against, like, a back, you know, color. I hate those. This at least looks like something a champion would get. Debatable whether or not it's better or worse. I don't know, like... When I first saw it, I thought, well, that's not great. And then I saw the better picture of it, and I thought, well, that's not that bad. And the more I look at it, the more I'm digging it, man. I like the eagle. I like the flag. I kind of like it. I wish it did have a blue background behind these stars. Do you guys have a picture of that? Because I would like to see that. I tried looking it up, and I couldn't find it.
I put it in the main group chat a little bit ago. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, that was a while back.
I might be able to find the one that I was talking about where it swapped champion with the flag. Look that up.
I don't hate it. But like Dalton, what do you hate about it?
I don't like the way it looks. They had a substantially better belt already, and they just changed these belts for no reason. I still hate the new IC title. That thing's ugly. You can't tell me otherwise.
I'm gonna look that up. I don't know if I've actually looked at it before.
The main fan edit. So this is the new U.S. title versus just adding a blue field behind the stars at the top.
That does look better.
It already looks better. And to me, the thing is, seeing that now, it makes the new actual belt look incomplete. It looks like they didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. That's true.
Because it's like, are they counting? I have to assume that because, you know, United States, the colors are red, white, and blue. You've got the red and white stripes. Why would you not do blue for the background of the stars? Like, are they counting champion as blue?
That's what I was going to say. It's hard to see, but champion isn't. See, I couldn't tell that at first. I often have difficulty with dark blue and black, and it's that very... the blue in the fan edit behind the field of stars at the top is a very vibrant, bright blue. The champion one is almost navy and then rimmed with gold, and it's difficult to see. It looks black, especially when there's no other blue out there.
Mm. Dalton, the IC title, the last one they used before this new one, was it the white strap?
Yeah, the white strap that looked really good, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, that is... I don't hate the new IC title. Like, I think it looks okay, but compared to the last one, it's not even a comparison. At least this one looks like it's comparable.
The oval center plate one was awesome. That was the IC title of, like, my childhood. They went back to the old one but put a white strap on it, which was fine. I didn't hate it. I get why they did it. But the new one is just so busy for no reason.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing of, if you're going to change a belt back, just change it back to the way it was. If they would have given us the WCW US title design and just put the WWE logo where the WCW was, this would be a completely different conversation where I'd be like, best fucking choice ever, because that's a good looking belt. This one isn't good looking. It looks like a boxing belt. That was my initial thought when I saw it. I was like, that looks like something you'd win if you were a boxer.
Do you think maybe they did it to try to, did you mention that it looks like a boxer belt? Do you think it's to give an illusion of more of a serious combat sport, like they're trying to emulate that, or do you think it's just coincidence?
If it was, don't you think they would do that to a more major title than the United States Championship?
And it's because, like, if you use that excuse, which, all right, explain to me the IC title. Because are you asking
me specifically?
No. I mean, no, like, I'm just that rhetorical, I guess. But
okay.
It's the same issue I have with their belt designs as a whole make no sense. Because it's like,
There's no consistency.
Can I try to put some logic to it, and you can tell me if you think I'm way off base here?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Because this is how I would rationalize it. So, if they want to go for like a legitimate sporting MMA boxing style title, because that tends, you know, that lends legitimacy or realness or whatever you want to call it, I think it could make sense to put it on a undercard title to make it feel more important. Since it's already viewed as a secondary title, oh, but no, look, it's prestigious, it's legit. Like, this is the workhorse title, is the Intercontinental Championship.
That makes sense.
I was going to say, that would also explain, I thought you were talking about the U.S. title, and I was going to say, that would explain the IC title for sure.
But then also, you have the reason that it, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this, they also want to give... And we know this isn't true, because look at the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship. It's the exact same belt. It's the exact same layout. The only difference is the color. So maybe they want to differentiate. They want the titles to feel different. Like, you want to be able to immediately recognize the difference between the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship, or the Cruiserweight Championship, or the 24/7 Championship.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, that was pretty much the end of my point there. I will say too, I even asked this question. We really do know the reason why they're changing the titles, though. It's money, because now there's a new replica belt they can sell at toy stores. A new replica belt they can charge $300 for.
To change this one particular makes sense, because it's the last old title. And this was the only one that hasn't had an update in years.
And just one last thing before Dalton gets to why he doesn't agree with me there. I both agree and disagree that they could have gone back to the WCW US title, because one, I think that is one of the best look, like, it's an underrated looking title. Like, that is legitimately one of the best looking championships in professional wrestling. But I understand why they don't go back to that. For one, it was a WCW thing, and WCW lost. They are losers. Everything that came from WCW sucks. We know that's this true. Now. And two, you kind of... On the one hand, like, yeah, you have the prestige of, like, the original title, and when a title has the same look, it really does feel like it's more important. But if you're going to change it, it makes sense to do something new rather than go back and try to recapture a former glory. Like, that's the only reason I wouldn't want them to go back to it, is because now it's like, okay, you're doing your own thing. So now, Dalton, I've interrupted you, like, three different times, so sorry.
No, so I understand what you're saying. My issue is with the consistency, like we were stating before, of, all right, cool, if you want all the belts to look alike, because that's what UFC does. UFC has the same belt unless it's an interim. If it's an interim title, then it's that kind of goofier looking, like, octagon belt. So if they want to make all the belts with that same strap and then just make a different backplate for it, like a background for the plates, and just make the belts look kind of different, I'd be fine with that, because then I'd be like, all right, at least all the belts are consistent. But to say, like, they make them different so they can tell them apart, well, I can't tell you a time in WWE where two belts looked alike beside the WWE and Universal, like, Championship. Like, all of their belts have looked drastically different. Like, even if you go back to the Attitude Era, like, there was no two belts that looked alike except for the tag titles. And you have to make those look alike. It's just, you're right, it's all about making the extra money. Now they can sell... new replica belts. The old replica belts will get, because they still make the old belts too. they still sell those a whole lot because people are like, I like that title more, so if I'm going to buy a replica, I'm going to buy the old one. Like, it's a
yeah,
really,
that's part of the rationale. That's why yeah. you update it, because when you update it now, you've just added – you haven't taken anything away. You've just added another one to the repertoire.
Yeah.
But did they ever sell any of these belts?
I'm not on Discord right now checking my Reaper.
Yeah, they did. They were like $1,000, weren't they?
Yeah, they only made a limited run of those.
So, just for the record, I sent a picture of the Bray Wyatt Fiend belt, which to me, like, and I know this is unfair because of the way it's meant to be designed, but to me is the dumbest looking, ugliest championship in history. And, like, I get it. It's not supposed to be regal and gold and all that, but I just think it's stupid. Like,
it was, I want
to
say,
to be fair,
it was,
that is bad, but did you see Jeff Hardy's into, TNA?
Oh, that was god awful.
I actually don't think I have.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Hunter, find a picture of it. That belt, whenever they did the actual replica, it was like $7,500. Did I lose everybody?
Jesus. No, I mean,
no,
yeah,
we're here.
No, we were. That's what was called a stunned silence.
I'm pretty sure it was like $7,500 because it was made at Savini's workshop. They made like.
There you go, Shannon.
That belt's. Fucking ugly.
Oh, the Divas title, yeah.
No, no, it's not even that. It's
you know
worse.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
So, legitimately, wow. Because Reddit has been on a kick the last, like, week of what's the worst looking title? What's the best looking title? Something I didn't learn until just, like, yesterday, maybe. If you look closely on that, that's actually, the middle of the plate is actually Jeff Hardy's face. With the, and the yes. circles are the gauges. I've yeah. spent literally years thinking that was like a random sea monster.
No!
Oh, because it looks like fins on either side.
Yes,
I get
it.
It
does.
Yeah. Like fins and
it
gills
does.
And stuff.
I was I like, oh, he's just a fan of that random bad guy from He-Man.
Well, no, he's the charismatic Enigma. See, you didn't know. You knew it was charismatic, but you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's just some...
Did you say,
it's just
did
some,
you say Enigma?
I said the charismatic Enigma, yes.
I can't find that post, and I'm wondering if it was its own post, it was a comment, which means I will never find it.
Also, to correct myself, because I did some Googling, I was wrong about the Fiend title, the cost of the actual replicas. They were $6,500.
Oh, well, that's completely reasonable then.
Oh. Yeah. Or you can buy, like, the WWE version of the replicas, which are $430.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's a drastically different number, but still.
Also, if you want to know, yes, they did charge shipping on the $6,500 belt.
Well, yeah, you got
to
keep.
Yeah, they had to
keep that thing safe. It's an investment.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all agree then that the Jeff Hardy belt is the ugliest belt of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
By a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, I think if I had to, okay, you get one of these and you don't get to decide which one, or you don't get to not pick one. Yeah, I'll take the Fiend belt over the Jeff Hardy one.
Same.
Any
I mean,
day.
Even the 24/7 title, as stupid as it is, looks better.
I mean, if nothing else, I could hawk the Fiend title for something somewhere. Surely, nobody wants that Jeff Hardy TNA title.
I sure as hell don't.
Actually,
I know if Dave Mahoney had it, he could not trade it.
Jeff Hardy has such an diehard fan base. I feel like it'd be worth more.
You know who I feel really bad for?
Goose Tony.
No. No, he'll feel sorry for him tomorrow when we talk about him. No, I was going to say Dave Mahoney. Dave Mahoney held on to that damn Crime Time signed belt.
It's worth. It might actually be worth something now. That's
he traded
sad.
It off, finally. He traded it off.
Did he really?
He traded it off before Shad Gaspard passed away, which, I mean, obviously that's not funny that Shad passed away, but the irony that he held on to it for so long and couldn't get rid of it, he finally got rid of it last year. Shad passes away, and now it's probably worth more than it's ever been, and he's just sitting at home with his 20 kids going, damn it! Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on real quick. Just a quick note, sad news for me, because all of us, but I'm such a big fan of hers. Ember Moon may require a second surgery. Asa, I know they talked about, and I heard her talking about, that it may be the end of her wrestling career.
Yeah, it's possible. She talked about it it wasn't backstage. Was it the bump?
It might have been the bump.
But she spoke about how it was a lot worse than they originally thought, and that she may require even a second surgery, which these with Achilles injuries, those could be on their own, could be career ending. But with one this severe, it's entirely possible that she may not wrestle again, which would be just such a shame.
Yeah, because she's incredible. I've always been a fan of hers. I was a fan of her when she was Athena, before she was Ember Moon. She's a big Sailor Moon fan, so I know that's like a cheat code for me. But she's only 31.
I don't mean this as a slight, but like for you to say that you were a fan of her before she, you know, got to WWE is kind of saying a lot, because you've talked about it yourself. Like, you weren't really up on a lot of indie wrestling. You're not familiar with a lot of independent wrestlers. So not only for you to know who she was, but also be a fan of hers is like a testament to how much you do like her.
Yeah, there are a few indie wrestlers that I followed through the years that I was a big, big fan of. I was a fan of Punk years ago, before, you know, when he was in Ring of Honor and that stuff. I'm definitely a fan of Ember Moon, and I'm trying to think of more, and I can't, and I feel terrible, because I swear to God there's more. But Ember was always one of my absolute favorites, and I think we've talked about it here before, that she's incredibly talented, and it may have been either Dalton or Asa, I can't remember, and if I'm wrong, you guys can correct me, but one of you made a good point that they have done so poorly for her look versus the character she portrays.
Oh, that was me.
That was Asa.
Yeah.
That was very much me, because that's something that's almost kept me from liking her, because as a performer, she stands out. Yeah, well, yeah, not only is it not her fault, but she kind of overcomes it. But, like, remember the vignettes that she was getting before, like, she really made her seem like this mysterious, enigmatic, you know, borderline supernatural style character, and then she comes out with a really good look, and just, but like, she's smiling and happy and outgoing, and it's like, this is a weird dichotomy that I don't fully understand or appreciate. So it's you need to lean into, because she seems like a genuine, like, anytime you see her do interviews, every time she's on backstage or the bump or anything like that, she does a great job. When she appears on Up, Up, Down, Down occasionally, she was always super, she always seemed just so likable. And then it's like, okay, well, give us either that, or as someone who doesn't mind like the supernatural element in character work with WWE and wrestling in general, like, then, or just give me that. But you really got to keep those things separate.
Can you think of any other character in wrestling where the look and like the intro and stuff like that are so significantly different from the person that then wrestles?
I have the absolute best answer. So if anyone else wants to go before I wreck you, scrubs.
Crow Sting.
I think it depends on which version of Crow Sting.
Do you mean like WCW Crow Sting or like that TNA one. Sting whenever he was...
No, WCW Crow Sting whenever, like, he was mysterious for that entire time, but the second he started cutting promos, he just, like, went straight back to, like, the way he was. There was no mystery to him, really.
I don't remember the timeline, but I could have sworn, and maybe I'm wrong, there was at least a couple of months where Crow Sting did that. Where he was mysterious still up until he actually fought Hogan, and then after he just immediately switched.
It was until they made him talk. Like, he was good whenever he didn't have to cut a promo, but the second he cut a promo, it was like, yee. And then like his work style like stayed the exact same.
Which, I mean, he's a great promo. Don't get me
wrong. I'm not saying it was bad promos. Yeah. I'm just saying it doesn't fit with what he was doing.
Spending a year in the rafters and not speaking at all.
And then straight into going woo and all that shit again. His woo is different, but... Go ahead, Asa, what was yours?
Well, does anyone else have one? Because, again, I have a much better one.
I want to just mention real quick that Sting was more like Wolfpack Sting. Wolfpack Sting and Crow Sting. Like, when he stopped being Crow Sting, he should have immediately just turned into Wolfpack Sting because it fit so much better. Remember Wolfpack Sting, where he had the red face paint?
From what I remember, they were all pretty much the same. All Stings are the same.
Yeah, it's Hannibal.
What's the name of the Sting?
All Stings are the same.
Is the same. Hunter, you got one you want to throw in there?
Okay, hit me with the question again, because the longer this is going, the more I have lost exactly what it is we're trying to figure out.
He tuned out. So,
Ember Moon, she, as Asa was saying, like, if you were to see her coming to the ring, she has the incredible entrance, the music, it's very mysterious, she does have, like, a supernatural, almost like a vampire look to her, in a way.
And less her entrance and more, like, the vignettes leading up to, like, her debut at NXT, if you remember those.
Well, her entrance, because she...
I better say her fucking theme music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets super dark. It's kind of creepy. It has the giant moon, and then she pulls the mask down and screams, and she has the hair and the eyes, and I could have sworn she had fangs. Maybe I'm crazy. But then she gets in the ring and she completely changes the character. Like, she's no longer mysterious. She doesn't portray any of that when she's wrestling. It's like the character that she portrays going to the ring is separate from the person that she is when she's in the ring. And do you know any other wrestler that has such a jarring change from this is how they're presented versus, okay, then this is how they act when they're actually there?
I just thought of a second one.
I guess I'm not really... I don't know. I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head who really just hears this crazy over-the-top entrance, and then they're just kind of normal. And I mean, I agree that that's a good example, but no, Ace is going to have to field that.
So the Asa. the one that I just thought of, Festus, but the actual correct answer is Seven.
Oh, the Dustin.
Oh, see, I almost didn't
Dustin
even.
Dustin Rhodes?
I mean, I get that, but he never actually wrestled under that.
Yeah,
game,
no,
did he? Didn't he just go to the ring? I was gonna say.
Yeah, no,
just...
they did weeks and weeks and weeks of build up for this of the child predator Michael Myers mask looking weirdo. He comes floating to the ring or on a horse or whatever extravagant thing, and then just immediately is like, "This is the dumbest bullshit I've ever done," and just goes into Dustin Runnels.
So, if you want to give a real answer to that, then, and it's on a very similar note, Mordecai. That guy they posited as the opposite of the Undertaker with the all-white getup and the hair and the staff and all that stuff. He came down to the ring and everything was super serious. He had like three matches and they were like, eh, never mind.
And then he became Kevin Thorne.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was paired up with Ariel, a.k.a. was a Shelly Martinez.
Yep.
Who, and still one of my absolute favorite wrestling moments that made me sad as a fan, because as Hunter has said before, the worst part of wrestling is the fans sometimes. I was at a show in, I think, Carbondale. It was a house show. And I remember Kevin Thorne was wrestling somebody. I don't remember who it was. But I'm sitting in the crowd. I think Lindsay's with me and a couple of buddies. And there's a guy next to me. And if you remember Ariel from WWE, she pretty much just wore a miniskirt and a thong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know. So she's doing her thing where she's bending over and she's bending over the rope yelling. And I look, the guy's got binoculars.
I got one better.
He offers me the binoculars. He looks at her as she's bent over. He's like, hell yeah, man, you want to borrow these? And I go, I'm good, man. I'm good. That's sad. Dalton, what do you got?
I was at a Ring of Honor house show in like 2013, 2012 in that ballpark. And Mike Bennett was still there. And Maria was with him as a manager. And like Maria just flat out just wears like super like... not revealing, but you see a lot of butt cheek on hers. She got up on the apron and like a dude two rows up from me, like I could see him like zooming in on his phone to take a picture. So it was like binoculars, but way worse.
Cause you had to see what he was seeing.
Yeah. Which I mean, I could have just like looked and saw it, but I was like, man, you are really scummy. I also, I said Ring of Honor and it reminded me of something that happened this weekend. I got really intoxicated on the 4th of July, and I did not remember. I do not remember doing this, but I bought $35 worth of micro brawlers from Ring of Honor. They're coming in. They're coming in sometime this week. I'm super excited about all of them, but I do not remember buying them.
That third white glove put you on your ass.
What better way to celebrate your country than by getting drunk and spending money on micro brawlers?
I know, right?
Ain't no laws when you're on the claws.
Goddamn right. And it was way more than three Asa because raspberry tasted horrible, so I had to get rid of it in one night.
Well, it sounds like you had a better night than Jesse and I had, where we spent, between us, I think, almost $200 on fireworks. And it was basically, Hunter was there. There was no variety, and they sucked.
Why did you spend?
Well, to be fair, everything was cool up until the Phoenix finale.
The one I was so proud of. I bought the Phoenix finale, and I remember we were at the little spot, and I saw it, and it said Phoenix. I'm like, oh, they used to call me the Phoenix, you know? And it said finale.
You used to call you the Phoenix.
Everyone called me the Phoenix. Dalton, get with the fucking program. And it was the Phoenix finale. I'm like, this is fate. This is absolutely fate. So I get it, and we take it back, and it was just a big sparkler. It was a $50 big sparkler.
The problem is, you needed to go back the next night, because then it, like, re-shot off, and it looked amazing.
Yeah, as soon as it ended, that was the bit that we made. We're like, I can't walk away, because as soon as I do, this thing's going to go off again.
It's got to go up like a goddamn majestic firebird.
Yeah, that's the thing with fireworks and, like, the finales. Like, you can spend $100 on a quote-unquote good finale, but you can get all that shit and artillery shells for way cheaper.
I mean, we did get artillery shells, thank God. That was the only good part about it.
Yeah.
But boy, what a disappointment that was. Yeah. Indicative of my life as a whole.
He's making it sound a lot worse than it was. It was a good time. The finale though was depressing. Was disappointing.
Yeah.
I used to sell
fireworks for a couple years during high school, and that was the one thing I learned is those big finales were a bunch of bullshit. Because you could get way better shit for cheaper.
Anyway, let's move on. Back to wrestling. Okay. Where were we?
Do you want us to stop you?
No, let's not talk about wrestling.
No, I like talking about wrestling every week. SummerSlam to be held in the Performance Center this year instead of Boston, so there's a shocker.
Yeah, that's a... It turns out that... especially when the city you're trying to go to is like, yeah, no, you're not having big gatherings of people. You got to change plans because they were still wanting to do it in Boston. Vince McMahon, up until like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, still was planning on doing shows with actual crowds by the end of the month. And it turns out when like 30 plus people in your company get sick from a deadly airborne illness that maybe you shouldn't do that.
Man, it's almost like those illnesses don't just go away because we're bored with them.
Well, I just assumed the illnesses were gone anyway. I've heard that it's like a miracle. They just kind of disappear.
I didn't think it was a real thing.
The summer heat took care of it.
Much like Kevin Thorne and Mordecai, they just kind of disappear one day. So SummerSlam's going to be in Boston, in the Summer Center. What am I trying to say?
Performance Center.
God damn it.
And we still don't have any idea when they may return to live shows, because they don't. I mean, at this rate, there's no way they can.
Well, yeah, and especially it's
too unpredictable.
You've got when you weren't doing testing, when you have this many people sick, someone including for the second time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't,
And then the story that came out about that, about how Vince just didn't know it was going on.
I never saw that. I alluded to it
in the group chat the other day. Yeah, allegedly, because it was rumored. But so they instituted a mask policy at the Performance Center, and the policy now is unless you are actively performing on camera, you must wear a mask. The first time you don't, it's a $500 fine. The second time you're caught, it's a $1,000 fine. And then I don't know if it escalates from there or whatever. But that's great. They're enforcing masks. Good. They should be. But the most entertaining part of this is that the behind the scenes story of that is that supposedly the only reason they didn't have a mask policy before that is because Vince often, and this is apparently true, often secludes himself at tapings anyway, and always has. He's always kind of stayed away from most people and just kind of sits back in his office and does his thing. He was so far removed from what was going on that he said, again, allegedly, he just didn't know that they weren't wearing masks. And he's like, okay, then yeah, put a mask policy in place. Why aren't we doing that?
How does he not know? Because they do crowd shots and he's watching the show.
Well, again, I think they're considering those people to be active performers, because they said if you're an active performer on camera, you don't have to wear one.
Well, they need to step up the policy of if you're not wearing it correctly, because the number of times they cut to the crowd and it's under their nose,
or it's just completely hanging off one ear,
or like whatever. The first show that they allowed to have, that they did people in the crowd at all, and the Street Profits come out and dance with the crowd, they go behind the plexiglass. Like,
well, and of course back then the rumor was, and we talked about this either last week or the week before, I think, was it Dunn was the one that was telling them,
he flat out was telling people you're flat out not allowed to wear masks, and he made announcements over the loudspeaker.
He telling made an oopsie. I mean, what are you going to do?
Telling them, because he had been telling people it's not a big deal.
Yes, of course. So what I was going to say earlier was the question now, since we're talking about when they're going to actually, you know, get back to possibly having a live crowd, do you think they'll tastelessly do something called Survivor Series
in November? Oh, God, I hope not.
I mean, isn't that what America's doing now?
Feels like it.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on.
There goes the tumbleweed.
Let's talk about what's happening.
Is that what it sounds like? Woo!
Yeah, close enough. Fuck off, Hunter. That's what I got to say to you. You could have just went past it like the other two adults.
Dalton,
you're
you are
the only
truly
one that made the sound.
I said the other two.
You're the Mordecai of this podcast.
I haven't disappeared yet, baby. Actually, that's you. That's you. You've come back with like five different names.
Well, yeah, but I never left. You did leave for a period of time and then came back begging.
With a different name.
With a different name.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah. Anywho, let's talk about what's going on right now. It's Great American Bash Night 2 and Fyter Fest Night 2 is happening as we speak as of this recording. And last week, I guess, Ace, there was a wrestler that accidentally spoiled, apparently, allegedly, the NXT main event.
Yeah. It was one half of Malcolm Bivens' tag team. I Bless don't you. Know how to say their name.
Was it Indus Share?
Is that what it is? Because I've heard like three different versions. It's and
like this, right?
And then I see people online say that like even the commentators aren't pronouncing it correctly. So yeah, that's what the name is.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I don't know if the S is silent or what, but it's one half of them apparently took a picture of the winner of the match celebrating in the middle of the ring, like as part of the celebration, and they posted it on their Instagram story and very quickly deleted it, but they posted something on the internet, so it's not there. Yeah, it's not gone forever, except of this, unless it's this mock-up of the United States Championship that has seemingly vanished from the collective. But it's so, yeah, that's a big old whoopsie. So then a lot of people were saying, no, they filmed two endings to fool people.
They didn't.
Right. So, but no.
I mean, that's just assumption, but.
I'm almost curious if they went back and filmed one just to, like, spite the internet. Because we all know WWE is petty enough.
Do you think they would change the ending because of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's happened before. The idea for a storyline or the ending to one leaks, and then they go with a completely nonsensical ending because, well, we wanted to throw the people off. We wanted them to be surprised.
Was that pop?
I think it's since been debunked, but for the longest time, that was the story behind Christian coming back. It was supposed to be him. He was the one that attacked Jeff Hardy and laid him out at the bottom of the stairwell and all of this. And then it leaked that he signed, so they scrapped that story, replaced Christian with Matt Hardy, and then Christian debuted on ECW.
Man, I thought you were talking about recently. I'm like, whoa, Christian was the one that came back and attacked Jeff Hardy? That's awesome.
No.
Now, to be fair, I know that this one shouldn't count because it's a Russo situation, and to be fair, nobody ever knew what he was going to do by the week, including Vince Russo. But the one that I always think of is the Higher Power story with The Undertaker. So there was every rumor of who's under the hood, who's controlling The Undertaker. Is it Mankind was rumored for a while. Is it Jake Roberts, which, by the way, this guy I read a long time ago on 411 wrote out a whole like reasoning for why it should have been him, and it was great. It ends up being Vince, which made no sense because, of course, Vince had been in the same arena with this person and seen simultaneously. It was so stupid. Like, it made no sense for it to be Vince.
Plus, he had his own daughter.
Corporate ministry, which was awful. Yeah, that didn't make any sense. They never explained that. And again, I know, it's a Russo story, so it almost doesn't count, but still.
Yeah. And that was a terrible storyline, too.
And then
although we did get that, epic reveal, though, of it was me all along, Austin. Like, that is...
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
I mean, all that was great, but at what cost, you know?
I mean, he's still alive.
Here's what I'd really like to know, knowing that we know, or theoretically know, the ending to the main event to NXT tonight. Do you think at any point in time JR and Shivani will talk about it on AEW, and Shivani will go, yeah, that'll put butts in the seats?
See, that's what
and
I
then
was actually,
JR just go, no.
that's what I was going to mention, is I wonder, but that is also kind of, I wonder if they are going to keep it the exact same because of that, because it's worked in their favor before. If they can, if Keith Lee is popular enough and they,
If he won.
In my defense.
That's it.
In
Dalton's
my defense,
broken for the rest of the show.
It's six. Yep. It airs in 5 minutes. Yeah, like that's true. The ending of the match has happened. No one is going to be able to listen to this, and it hasn't already happened. But so it's, you know, you're listening to this and NXT has already aired. And maybe they changed it, so maybe I'm wrong. But because it's also very telling that the photo that he took, it almost looked like it was a video grab. But it's Keith Lee in the ring with both belts and just buttloads of confetti.
Lot of confetti.
Like, like, there's no way they filmed this not to use it amount of confetti.
Yeah.
So I had to mute my microphone so I could keep laughing.
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah. I just realized that I had that function.
So, I mean, if any...
He made a whoopsie. It's fine.
Well, and again, it's a spoiler for something that's about to air in 3 minutes.
No, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure literally none of you actively watch NXT to the point that you care about spoilers.
No,
It was just your reaction to yourself.
That's what made me laugh, yeah. Whoops. That's what made me laugh.
That was like 10 seconds later. I'm just like, oh, wait a minute. What did I just do? But yeah, so like maybe they believe in Keith Lee, and because, you know, he's been a huge project of NXT. He got a big showing in the Royal Rumble. He was big for Survivor Series. Company very much seems to be behind him. And if this is something that's like, oh, shit, Keith Lee's winning both titles, that's going to boost ratings up to see it. So maybe that could end up being beneficial to them, unless like AEW like slaughters them in the last 10 minutes or however the ratings are broken down, then that could also be very bad for him. And then when he loses to Karrion Kross at TakeOver, it'll be even faster.
I feel like NXT is going to win this week again. I truly do. Am I the only one?
Losing Moxley Cage, I think, is really going to hurt AEW.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the ratings say in the morning or next week or whenever ratings come out. I'm not.
And spoiler alert.
It's usually like.
I'm absolutely refreshing the results page on prowrestling.net to see if.
To see who wins.
To see what the ending is.
Because if they say Adam Cole wins, we know. Why does Adam Cole have shorter hair in this moment versus, 5 minutes ago? Why is.
He's wearing different color trunks.
Yeah, they probably don't even care. They're just like the others. Well, I don't have my clothes ready. It's fine. No one will notice. No one's watching the show that closely. Vince isn't. That's why we had to put the mask policy in suddenly. Other news: Kairi Sane reportedly not renewing her WWE contract. I was surprised to see her on Raw. Of course, the rumor mill spinning about her being done with WWE completely and going back to Japan, and then she showed up on Raw and beat Sasha Banks. So.
Well, there's been a lot of conflicting reports that she had either already left for Japan, but I think what it is people are taking the actual story and misreading it, and then they're putting the wrong headlines out there because they're not bothering to do their own research. They're just, you know, ooh, look what so-and-so is reporting. Because the thing, like, everything that I saw from, like, actual reputable sources say that she is prepared and is all set to return to Japan once her contract is up, and that she's going to wrestle for maybe another year in Japan before she ultimately just retires altogether, which is a bummer because she's so good.
Yeah.
And she's still, you know, young enough that it seems like she has a lot of really great years in front of her. But if she doesn't want to do it anymore, obviously that's her choice. So, but
how old is Kairi Sane? Let me see here. She's also 31.
Yeah. So it also makes sense though, because the stories that we're telling were like, well, there was already a plan in place that whoever was going to wrestle Asuka for the women's championship at SummerSlam they were going to run a story that opponent, whoever it would be, gives Sane a career ending and injury. And that's how she's written off of television and written out of the company ultimately. But then Nia Jax actually injured her like 2 weeks in a row. So they scrapped that idea. So now it'll be kind of interesting to see if maybe she does end up resigning, or if they just go ahead with that story anyway, or if, you know, what if they could have Asuka just, you know, turn on her and just absolutely annihilate her if they want to turn Asuka heel again.
I feel like that would be a mistake. I really like the pairing of Asuka and Kairi, even if I didn't really like the name at first. I don't really care about the name anymore. I just think they're a cool pairing. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to see Kairi go.
Turned out it was
go.
Their idea for the name, wasn't it? They were the ones who came up with it.
I mean, that doesn't change the fact that I still hate the name. I mean, whether it was them or Vince, I just don't like the name.
It's just not offensive now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't like the name. I would say I'd be sad to see Kairi Sane go, and I would, but only because I will never see her wrestle again, even if she goes back to Japan to wrestle, because like Asa said earlier, I don't really watch a lot of wrestling anyway, which is weird considering I host this show, but I would see Kairi Sane more in WWE than anywhere else. So from a personal standpoint, I would hate not being able to access her footage so easily. But yeah, you got to do what's right for you.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a shame, especially because of the momentum they had behind her at so many points of time. I mean, she won one of the Mae Young Classics, right?
The first one?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The first or the second one?
She beat Baszler.
Yeah,
oh,
and I mean,
Baszler, there's another story.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. That was rumored earlier this week, but she's in a, I don't want to say relatively similar position, but, you know, rumor is that Vince doesn't know what to do with her, doesn't think it makes sense. The gimmick, which, I mean, the gimmick is what? It's Ronda Rousey. It's the same gimmick. It's the same thing. She's a strong MMA fighter. So the second she comes up to the main roster, what does she do? She bites Becky Lynch like a vampire, and as soon as Becky's out, well, creative has nothing for you. Have fun on Main Event. I'm just going to get mad the longer I'm talking, because the both of them have been, I don't want to say Kairi Sane has been wasted, but definitely in recent history, she's not been used to her full potential, and it's hugely disappointing.
Especially now, because it feels like she's just a sidekick to Asuka. They don't feel like they're on equal footing.
No,
which, I mean,
right.
is the curse of all tag teams. I can't think of a single tag team, other than maybe New Day, where all of the people in the tag team, there's not a Shawn Michaels and a Marty Jannetty. You know, in the New Day, it feels like everyone's Shawn Michaels. If there was a Marty Jannetty in the New Day, it would probably be Xavier Woods, and I think that's only because he's injured and can't do anything right now, so he's just thought of as the lesser of the three. And I guess the Viking Raiders, because I don't know jack about them, and they've done nothing to keep me interested.
Well, you want to talk about another group that was wasted completely. I don't want to talk about another one, because consistently people get called up and get wasted. Ricochet, pretty well wasted at this point. Cedric Alexander should have stayed with 205 Live or NXT.
But Kevin Owens.
The list goes on.
But Alexa Bliss.
Kevin Owens is a rare... You know what? I don't even feel good about saying that he's been properly used, because
he
got a pretty good shake for a while, but...
He's consistently in the main event. Like, it's the NXT to WWE ratio, I think, leans more heavily in the dropped balls than misses. But also, we have to remember that some of WWE's biggest stars that they have right now were in NXT.
Oh, I thought you were going to say came from TNA.
who other than AJ?
I would say Samoa Joe, but So I really don't know. Is he out of wrestling at this point?
He's still on commentary.
Yeah, that's what I mean though. Like, is he on commentary permanently, or is he just still injured?
He hadn't been cleared to come back since his previous injury, and so they put him back on commentary to just kind of continue. And then if he does get cleared, he's free to step back into. He can step back into the an in-ring role.
And right now, no. But I do believe, Dalton, back me up on this, there was a time where TNA was prominent in WWE. You had, Robert Roode. You had Samoa Joe.
It was 3 years
Styles.
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah, Eric Young. I mean, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
On NXT. But, like, because you're right. Because Eric Young, Robert Roode, huge names in NXT, did next to jack squat on the main roster.
Well, I feel like Eric Young falls into that category Hunter was talking about, because the Sanity group got a huge... I feel like a huge push, 5 minutes? And then that one died faster than any of them, I think. They were poised to be this really big thing, and then they just immediately got swept under the rug. And I don't remember why.
They were brought up to the main roster as Sanity for all of about 3 seconds. And then they immediately just quashed every bit of that. And ironically, it's not ironic, I guess, but to me, a little strangely, Nikki Cross ends up being the biggest star to come out of that group. As far as WWE is concerned, anyway. And she's great, don't get me wrong, but I don't think anybody looked at that and went, yes, Nikki will be the one who will be the breakout star from there.
Well, I can't remember anyone other than Eric Young and Nikki. I think one guy was named Wolfgang, Killian
Dane.
Maybe?
Killian Dane.
Who's back on NXT, kind of in an enhancement style role. Like, he's kind of the boss fight for people who they're actually pushing. And then Alexander Wolf,
yep.
who
that's what I'm thinking of.
Who was with Sanity for a while. Then whenever they just seemed to do nothing with Sanity on the main roster, he quietly went back to NXT UK and joined up with Imperium. And I actually don't know if he is returned after he got like legit like super knocked out.
Yeah, he got
in one of those matches. So I don't know if he's part of, because Walter hasn't been part of, but it's Eichner and the other one whose name Marcel Barthel.
Yeah,
they're the NXT tag team champions currently. Yep. But I don't know if Alexander Wolf has been part of that act at all.
I don't think he has, but I also haven't been keeping up with NXT as much.
And it's entirely possible too that that's COVID related, like travel related. That he's,
yeah, because they might be over there.
Because NXT UK is pretty much my biggest blind spot in televised wrestling.
Really quick, speaking of NXT, Ace, so the results are in, and it is official.
I just saw the video. So, okay. They filmed two endings. Okay, well, then why did the real one is the only one that got out? Seems like if you did film two endings, you need to go ahead and have someone leak
the director's cut.
Yeah, option two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to go change a belt in my figure room now.
Moving on really quick. Cody Runnels denied the trademark for Cody Rhodes. That's sad.
Yeah, it's an initial claim. WWE is claiming that because of the pandemic, which, again, well, it's not real. We don't know about it. Because of the pandemic, it delayed them from re-upping the trademark, because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that they actually let it lapse. So he was free to make that trademark, but apparently WWE did file for that extension.
Wait, they got away with that shit?
Yep.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. That irritates me more.
It's only a problem. It's only a problem when it's, you know, beneficial to them.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter, WWE wanted a challenge.
A challenge they could beat.
A challenge they could beat. Sarah Logan announces that she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Tumbleweeds.
We said yeah.
That's the name of the child. Tumbleweed.
No, Tumbleweed Row. That's nowhere near Viking enough.
who is her husband again? It's
Eric from Viking Raiders.
Okay.
The smaller one.
There's some good news for him, at least. I always like Sarah Logan. I'm sad that she got the boot like that. Also sad about Heath Slater on Raw.
Yeah, I know we don't usually recap the shows, because that's why I put the U.S. title as its own story, but that was annoying.
Yeah, because like, what a great thing that they just ruined.
They hyped it up as, like, former WWE star return makes an appearance on Raw, and then it's Heath Slater, who cuts a really good promo.
Yeah.
Like, an incredible, like, the only thing you knew about him was how they presented him on TV, you would have never thought he was capable of something like that.
Right.
Really great promo. Gets McIntyre to challenge him to a fight. Immediately eats a claymore. Is pinned. McIntyre comes back and helps him against Ziggler. And then they have a send-off. Which it's like, okay, if you wanted to give him a fight, if you wanted to show how jacked he was, and to show his free agent t-shirt that you can get on ProWrestlingTees.com right now.
Yep.
If you want to give him a platform to show that, maybe don't fucking fire him in the middle of a pandemic when you're the only fucking company that's letting people go. Like, that, and what did that do to... I don't understand it. Like, I genuinely don't understand it. Like,
it didn't do anything for anyone in that segment. It didn't make Dolph Ziggler look smart or better to challenge Drew McIntyre. It didn't make Drew McIntyre look any more dominant or powerful. He's been doing that to everybody. It made Heath Slater look like an idiot.
It also kind of made Drew McIntyre look like a dick, because the entire time, like, his whole promo was, where were you when I got fired? I was there for you when you got fired. Where were you for me? And Drew McIntyre didn't actually answer him.
Answer was, look over there, Claymore.
Yeah, like it was just like, look, where it would blow, something like that. So I guess he, like, him coming back to save him against Dolph berating him was him, you know, standing up for him finally?
I guess.
You got the moral victory, but in a much lesser sense, you took
Do you think this could be...
Could it be his way back?
Tonight is the night where we're just talking over each other. Yes. Could this be the opening that Heath Slater needs?
I don't think so. No. Like, I don't think this is like a Drake Maverick thing. I don't think.
I bet he'll be back once everything opens up. He will be back when everything opens up. I will put money on it.
If he doesn't sign somewhere else. Like, he's, because he, by all accounts, he's very well liked in the locker room and in the office. He's, you know, a good person, it seems.
He looks like Brandon Barbwire.
So it's just like, then why would you fire him and then and give could, him this I weird mean, spotlight? And it's entirely possible that he plays a factor in not Extreme Rules, by the way. The pay-per-view isn't called Extreme Rules.
The horror show
at Extreme Rules. So maybe he wow. plays a role there, and that is how they bring him in. But again, it's just one of those, like, okay, so people actually did lose their jobs, and you are turning that into a story to profit off of.
And it might just be a smokescreen, but he has been hyping up the same date as Impact Slammiversary.
That's because that's when the 90-day contract goes up for all of those people.
Yep. Oh, okay. There's about to be so much good shit coming out that day.
The Good Brothers have been hyping up the Talking Shop, because like at midnight they're releasing that where they talk about their WWE career. And Impact Wrestling even did a giant video at the end of one of their broadcasts recently that has alluded to essentially literally every person that lost their job. Like, it showed the Bulgarian flag, it showed Gallows as part of Aces and Eights, but it showed EC3 winning the title. It showed Jake Maverick. So they're very much being like, so who's coming?
Well, we know not Jake Maverick.
He's got a job.
Yeah. Since you talked about Gallows and Anderson, likely to sign with both the Impact and New Japan.
Yes, the current stories and reports are that Japan was their priority to return to, but Impact offered them like an insane amount of money to go there while also allowing them to work with New Japan, and they are willing to work around the dates they need for New Japan. Good. So that's like, yeah, that's awesome. We're about to get some real fire matches, because Good Brothers versus the North, give me that.
Oh, that'll be stupid.
I didn't get this out there earlier, but because I almost forgot, so I'm going to double back for just a brief second. But look, I like Dolph Ziggler as much as the next guy, but I would much rather see Heath Slater against Drew McIntyre for the title.
Especially because he got so jacked now. Fulfill the prophecy.
Yeah, and there's a story behind it. Like, it blows my mind that they wasted that. Anyway, sorry, I can't get over it.
And finally, in things that I don't want, actually, it's the new WWE Battlegrounds trailer came out today, and it looks fine, but boy, do I still hate those character models.
Dalton, you remember all that money you spent on micro brawlers? They used it to fund this game.
Oh, no, the micro brawlers look way better. They're way more proportioned.
They use them for the character bases.
I cannot describe to you how much I hate the character models. They look like some kind of weird children version of them. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, Hunter, I have the figures that you're thinking of for that, and I'll send a picture whenever I get them upstairs.
That's okay. You don't.
Don't worry. No, I'm gonna do it.
The game itself.
I'm gonna do it.
The game itself
it.
Looks fine. I just want to say this: the game itself looks fine. I'm gonna get it. I actually, depending on how good
you're
the version
not.
Is,
I'm
no,
gonna.
I probably,
no,
I'm probably gonna get. Especially they're bringing it to the Switch.
Hunter, you're.
I'm gonna.
You were doubting Shannon's gonna spend money.
I am trying to talk him out of it.
Whoa, guys! I bought the Outer Worlds on Switch. I will do crazy
things.
I'm on your side on this.
So do.
Did you, Shannon? Did you read the that IGN article I sent you?
Yeah, I saw like the new modes and stuff, and it all sounds really good. It's just those, especially the women's character models.
Oh, they're so bad.
So don't.
So much of the character models are just like, the art direction is not something I can get behind even a little bit.
No.
But some of the details, IGN had a big write up on it, includes that the game will feature over 70 playable wrestlers at launch, featuring superstars and legends. There will be more wrestlers added as free updates after launch, which, say what you will about what the game looks like or how it looks like it's going to play, that's an amazing move, especially considering that it's still a 2K game.
Yep.
There's a superstar creator function. The commentary is going to be done by Mauro Ranallo and Jerry Lawler.
Oh, nice.
Which is
interesting.
Is it nice? I mean, it's good to have Mauro, but we're going to have Lawler on there?
That's fine.
Okay.
And it's a weird combination that, as far as I know, we haven't gotten before.
I mean, at least it's not Morrow and JBL, and they didn't have to work together again.
Yeah. There's a whopping four modes featuring online, King of the Battleground, which is an online last man standing mode that's four players in the ring, four more waiting outside. There's Exhibition, local and online. And there's the campaign, which it's seven new wrestlers created specifically for the game are competing for a WWE contract. You'll pick one and fight across multiple maps, which you unlock as you go, with guidance from Stone Cold Steve Austin and Paul Heyman.
Huh. Oh, I can't wait to see Paul Heyman's character model.
It'll look normal.
It's just an egg.
It's just Danny DeVito from Batman Returns.
And then there's apparently eight locations to fight across.
How many? Now, I'm sorry.
As far as the new characters go, if at least one of them isn't the trash man, I'm out.
Maybe
it's my time.
Do you think Baron Blade will be involved?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I hope so. That's one of the few things.
Big
in the 2K
banter,
series
Baron
I liked.
Blade.
It's funny.
Maisie jumped on the bed whenever you said how many, and it distracted me. How many wrestlers did you think was in the game?
At launch, there will be 70, more than 70.
That was substantially more than I expected.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
There's a whole list of who they have confirmed, which I'm assuming they pulled from the trailer, because we got a lot more characters in this trailer. They did announce that Edge is going to be a pre-order bonus, as well as part of the Digital Deluxe Edition. I will say, too, to their credit, they are not trying to sell this for $60. It's $40 for the base game, $50 for the...
Deluxe?
For the Deluxe Edition, that's according to 2K's website.
That's easy. That's an easy 50.
And what exactly is in the Deluxe Edition? Edge and what else?
That I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, looked at because I don't have that in front of me. But it's
Shannon, while you're looking it up, tell them, you know, I know exactly that you were going to spend this kind of money on this, because tell them what your plan was for 2K20 last night.
Oh, no, it's not a plan. It's not a plan. It's just something I'm going to do.
That's the plan. That's what it is. All I can see is Peter Dinklage as Eitri from Endgame. It's just, yes, that's what a plan is.
I think Asa died, too. We've effectively killed multiple people tonight. Well, they've got 2K20 Deluxe Edition on PC for $13, and I can sell my Xbox copy and buy that.
I say do that.
And my response was, or what you could do is sell your Xbox copy and then not buy that, and then you come out on the positive side.
But then I don't have any wrestling, Hunter. I have literally poured minutes into 2K20 since I've owned it.
Exactly.
That's what
minutes.
We
not even touch this year's game.
That's what we call a sunk cost fallacy, brother.
I do want to get, if it is good on Switch, though, like if the Switch port is actually solid, I will get it on Switch. I won't buy it for Xbox One or PS4 or whatever system it will be on that. But if the Switch version is good, I will get it because I am desperate for a wrestling game on Switch. I know Retro Mania is coming out, Dalton, was it next month?
Hey,
Dalton, can you hear me?
We were told. Sorry, my audio has been dropping, like, not consistently, but every once in a while. So if you talk to me and I'm not responding, I'm probably just in dead spot or space. Retromanius was supposed to drop this month, but I think it got pushed back because of the COVID. I think the developer said August or September now.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I want a good wrestling game for Switch. I want one. And this game, if it's fun... Despite those terrible character models, I'll pick it up. Also, the Deluxe Edition, it's apparently, I don't know if it's only digital, but the only one that I can find is the digital version, and it comes with the game, Edge, all versions of Stone Cold, The Rock, and Ronda Rousey unlocked from the start, thank God, and 1,100 golden bucks, which is in-game currency used to unlock superstars as well as cosmetic items. And I'm thinking... Does that mean we're going to have a microtransaction shop?
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Digital Deluxe Edition includes three versions of each superstar, along with the pre-order bonus Edge. So how many versions of each star are there going to be? That's kind of weird. Also, Shannon, this might interest you. Nintendo is adding two new Super Nintendo games to their online service in July. We're getting Donkey Kong Country, which should have been on there forever, and Natsume Championship Wrestling.
I played that as a kid. It wasn't great, but it was interesting. I wouldn't mind trying it again.
It's all Japan's game.
I also want to point out to Hunter, from the FAQ on SmackDownHotel.com.
Oh, please say FAQ.
Yeah, that hurt when you said that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why wouldn't I say fac? Painful. It's fac. It's a fac.
It's FAQ.
What's facwa?
No.
The facwa. No. From SmackDown Hotel. Can I obtain Golden Bucks in-game currency and the alternate version of Superstars without the deluxe edition? Yes. WWE Superstars in-game currency and cosmetic items can be unlocked by achieving in-game objectives. No additional purchase necessary.
Well, that's, so, I mean, that's good, but basically it sounds like they want you to pay up front for some of that stuff from the
Well, also, it could also be one of those things like Marvel Marvel Heroes, where they said you can unlock characters and costumes for free. You don't have to buy them, but it took such a grind to unlock it that most people just paid the money anyway.
So it's definitely what it's going to be. It's the same thing as that. What do they call it every year that you guys get in the 2K20? The
Supercard.
No. The My Team.
My team, my player.
Something like NBA. That. It's the thing that you I can't think of the term, but it
ultimate team.
It speeds up the game process.
Like, oh, accelerator,
there it is.
It's like $2, yeah. Word. And it always comes with the game.
I didn't realize you were talking about
wrestling. so I think Battlegrounds is going to be a lot like NBA Playgrounds. In that sense, because that's actually, now that we're talking about like the microtransactions, I feel like it's going to be just like NBA Playgrounds and NBA Playgrounds 2, where you will probably have to unlock a pretty good amount of people. It'll be a grind to unlock them. They'll probably give you a $15 option to unlock everybody, which
we'll do.
I will do, because I did that for NBA Playgrounds, because I would rather just have everybody and then just play with the people I want to play with. And if it's a $40 game and they're like, well, $10 unlock everybody.
Yep.
Cool. I'll do it. Whatever.
I'm with Dalton on that one. I'm gonna back him up on that one.
Again, you're the only two who are gonna buy it anyway. So
yeah.
Well, enjoy. You know, then we'll be the only ones playing it.
Yes, you will.
You'll come to the store and you'll be like, "Can I play?" And I will be like, "No." Shannon, will
hang on a minute. Okay? You're talking about a completely fantasy scenario, because I will not ask you that. If I wanted to play the thing, I would just buy it.
And by the way, buying it later is not my plan. It's an idea that I will see to fruition.
God damn it.
And that's going to do it for us tonight here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Oh. All right, we got to get out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow, though, with After Dark. And if you're a hunter, not the hunter, but if you're a hunter and you like to hunt geese, tomorrow I am taking a specific goose to the cleaner. So you got to wait for that. We're going to be talking about that. Lindsay's,
please tell me you're going to subtitle it The Untitled Goose Show.
It's going to be great, and Lindsay's going to think up something fun, although I don't know what could be more fun than hanging a racist out to dry, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's tomorrow, and then Friday, it's the Podzilla 1985 Legendary Group Chat for Happiness podcast. Boom!
Now,
if only you would get it right on Friday.
You and Tanner both always end on podcast, and that's weird for me. It should be podcast for happiness.
It's whatever. They know what the show is. It's the highest rated show on the network for God knows what reason.
It's just called We Only Entertain Ourselves.
Yeah, it's basically just me, Dalton, Hunter, and usually Tanner dicking around. And it's apparently a good time. I don't know why. Most of it just includes Hunter posting pictures in the Discord that no one else can see. It's just us reacting to the pictures. And apparently our joy brings them joy. So whatever. And then we'll be back on Monday with Nerd Up. And we'll do it all over again. So that's it for us tonight. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. And if you're getting Battlegrounds, let me and Dalton know so we can play with you. Zane or Ciro or anybody, please. Anybody. Don't make me and Dalton be the only two that get it.
I mean, I'll get it if it's fun and if the character models look better and if I can get it for less even than it's supposed to be.
I got some bad news for you.
If you guys are going to play it and if it does that to my Switch.
Well, hopefully by then it's the Switch Pro. We'll see. Probably
not.
All right,
no.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Really quick, just look up Podzilla 1985. Like, that's it. If you look up Podzilla 1985 ASA, they can pretty much find whatever.
Probably.
And .com. If you add a .com to it, you can go to the website. That's it. That's all for tonight. We're going to be back tomorrow with...
That's not how that works. I was going to say, and then just put / whatever social media, but that's not how those work.
For myself, for the snow... the snow boss... Shit, I don't remember it. It's not funny anymore. Whatever. We're out of here. Hunter, take us out.
Later.